So, today I was asked to speak about the purpose of material creation, isn't it? That's what the title says, right? I want to make sure I'm speaking on the right topic, right? Are you going to sit down? Or are you going to, sit down. Please. So why is there material creation?
In the world of sustainability, it doesn't exist.
This is a very good question. If God is perfect, if there is a God and God is perfect, then we, as the creation of God, we should also be perfect. And there should be no need for material creation. But since we do have, since we are part and parcel of Krishna, we are infinitesimal parts of Krishna. We, like Krishna, we have free will. And he knows that some of us are going to make a bad decision using our free will. Just like when the government wants to build a city, they plan ahead. So they plan, there's going to be a hospital over here, there's going to be a school over here, there's going to be a jail over there. So they plan for the jail because they know that some of the citizens are going to decide to do the wrong thing. So if even the mundane government can figure out that some people are going to decide to do the wrong thing, God also can figure this out. Can you get some water? So you understand, Krishna can understand that some of us will decide to do the wrong thing. So what is that wrong thing? In the spiritual world, whether we're in Vaikuntha or whether we're in Ayodhya Dham or Goloka Dham, Krishna or some form of Krishna is at the center. And Krishna is enjoying and he is facilitating enjoyable relationships with all of his devotees.
మిగతా అందరూ కూడా ఆయనకి ఆనందాన్ని ఇస్తూ ఉంటారు. ఆయనకి ఎంతో భక్తి పూర్వకమైనటువంటి సంబంధాన్ని కలిగి ఉంటుంది.
But because we do have free will, we can decide to either enter in and help Krishna continue these relationships, or we can have a thought, why Krishna should be in the center? Why him? Why not me? Why Krishna should be the enjoyer? Why should Krishna be the center of everything? I'm just as good. I'm just as handsome. I'm just as good looking because in Vaikuntha, everybody's dressed the same. Everybody looks the same number of arms, etc. I'm just as good looking as him. I say, I'm, you know, why him? Why not me? So as soon as this seed of disharmony enters into our heart, enters into the mind, because in spiritual world there's also the body, there's also the intelligence and the mind and the senses, but they're all spiritual. And Krishna is also in the heart. So as soon as that happens, Krishna is aware. He knows. So for two reasons, he separates this jiva, this soul, out of the company of the out of Vaikuntha. He takes them out of the spiritual world for two reasons. One reason is because such a mentality is incongruous with the mood that is going on. It's not congruent with the prevailing mood of the Krishna's at the center. It creates a discontinuity. It's a conflicting. The second reason is out of concern for the living entity who has gotten this diseased condition. He's identified a sick patient, so you have to isolate not working. It's like if somebody gets sick, they immediately quarantine the patient because they don't want him to, it's working now. It's definitely working. They don't want the patient to infect other people, and plus for the safe recovery of the patient, he should be put into a sick ward.
তাহলে জীবন হচ্ছে অন্য করে জীবন
করছে
So when the patient is isolated, he can be properly treated. And Krishna is very merciful to all the living entities, and he wants to fulfill their desires. So now we've developed a very perverted desire. By nature, we are meant to serve Krishna. But we have developed the desire that we should be Krishna. So this is a perverted desire. It's impossible to fulfill. So Krishna says, all right, you have this desire. Then I'll send you to a place where you can try to fulfill this desire. That place is this material creation. So in the material creation, we can try to be the Lord and the Master. We can try to be the center of everything. Should we hold for a second and let him fix it? Yes, we're still on pause here. Testing. Hare Krishna. Okay, now we're working. Are we set? Okay. It's kind of hard to concentrate when... Okay, so... What was I saying? Alright, so Krishna sends us to the material world. So that's where we can try to fulfill our fantasy of being Krishna. We want... So the fantasy is to be Krishna. So the only problem with this fantasy is in the material world, everybody else also wants to be Krishna. So it's not that when you step into the material world, everybody starts paying obeisances to you and starts wanting to fan you. No, it doesn't work that way. Everybody else thinks that they are entitled to be Krishna also. So then this becomes the struggle of existence. Everybody is struggling to become the king of the hill. Everybody wants to be at the top. Like when we were children, we used to play, you know, they have some mountain of sand, and then somebody stands at the top, and everybody else tries to remove him from the top so that they can be on the top. That's called playing king of the hill. So this mentality of trying to be number one extends not only in our personal life, but you know, that I'm better than you, my family is better than your family, my village is better than your village, my country is better than your country, my language is better than your language. It expands in many different ways. And it leads to, inevitably, to many conflicts and misery, exploitation. And sometimes, you know, of course, Krishna gives the world is it's full of suffering. It's not enough that everybody is trying to become Krishna, but there are also some other built-in flaws into the creation. It's not just that people are trying to compete with each other to be Krishna, but Krishna has also designed other flaws in the creation. And those are, you know, we try to, you know, the struggle for existence includes, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So we compete with each other, so therefore we become, you know, we have to compete for food. We have to compete. Competition also means we have to defend from other people. And, you know, shelter, clothing, sex, all these different things is a struggle to try to achieve all these goals. And all these, trying to achieve all these goals, creates an illusion of what are the important problems of life. Because, you know, many of them require that we have to have wealth. So it creates certain false illusions about what are the real problems and how we should apply our intelligence and energy to achieve them. But the real problems of life are not eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The real problems of life is something else that Krishna built into the material creation. And that is, or I should say, those are birth, death, old age, and disease. These are the actual problems of life. So if we simply waste our time trying to, the belly filling problem, eating, say all these things, if we simply try to waste our time doing these things, we will become distracted from the real problem. So while going through the different cycles of birth and death through different bodies, you know, struggling in the material world, life after life, eon after eon, you know, kalpa after kalpa, brahmanda after brahmanda, it begins to perhaps dawn on someone that something is wrong with the material world. Because remember, ultimately, you know, that that there's ultimately there is a purpose to the creation. Krishna simply didn't make this material world as an isolation tank. The purpose is to bring the living entity back to his original consciousness, which is that of being the servant of Krishna. But this this desire to be, you know, at the center is so deep rooted that it takes a long time before we get a little tired of it. It's this desire to be Krishna is so deep rooted, it takes some time before we get tired of the attempt of being Krishna. We, you know, after a certain amount of development of consciousness, you know, and specifically, you know, Krishna also, it's not like you, not that you create a hospital without putting doctors in the hospital, right? When the government makes a hospital, they just don't put beds in them. They also put doctors in. They put facilities to try to help the patient get better. So Krishna does the same thing. He makes various types of facilities, different type of arrangement to give mercy to the different to the living entities. So that they can slowly begin to awaken from the illusion. So he, as he describes in the Bhagavad Gita, that he either comes himself to the world or he sends a representative. He, you know, there are different tirthas, you know, like, you know, we were discussing this morning in Bhagavatam class, many holy tirthas. For example, we are here in a holy tirtha itself, Tirupati, where there are so many sacred rivers in India. And you know, just simply seeing Tulsi Devi will remove so many sinful reactions from us. And specifically in the Kali Yuga which we're in, the Krishna comes directly as the Nam Prabhu. So by hearing the holy name, even accidentally, or you know, it just in passing, we get some sukriti, some punya. So this all is by the plan of Krishna to entice or to purify the soul so that they can be dragged back home. Krishna's plan of recovering the living entities. And of course then he also sends all the Shastras. Right? One time I was discussing with my brother, he was saying, well, if God wants me to do something, he'd tell me to do it. Well, I said, well, he did tell you to do it. He says the same thing in the Bible. He said the same thing in the Quran. He said the same thing in Torah. He said the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. How many times you want him to tell you? serve me. You want personal invitation? But they think that we think we're so important that God has to come personally right up to us and say, please, you know, surrender to me. So the material creation is designed in such a way, as my God brother says, it's perfectly imperfect. It's full of so many different difficulties that it forces us to at least temporarily become humble. Because it's only through humility that we can approach Krishna. Because as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, that four types of people approach me. Anybody can tell me what those kind of people are? Anybody? Who? I can't hear you. Okay, that's one.
Who seek?
What?
Who seek for self-realization?
Okay.
Why do you practice?
Okay. One more.
And who want you to know?
Well, that's sort of like the first one you said, right? That's close enough. Those who are in material distress, those who are in poverty, those who are curious, and those who are wise. Right? Those who are wise. They want to find out the absolute truth. Those who are wise. So, so if you're impoverished or you're having material difficulties, then you are forced to be humble. So in that humble situation, you can approach God. So please help me. But then sometimes, after Krishna helps you, you might forget. Like there's a famous story about Balaji, I heard a long time back. Maybe you heard this story. There was a man who liked to play the ponies, who liked to bet on the horse races in Bangalore. You heard this story? There's a man who liked to go and bet on the horses in Bangalore. So he came to Balaji, he says, on such and such a date, there's going to be a horse race. I'm going to bet on this horse. If he comes in, I'll win 1 lakh. I'll give you half, 50%. I'll give you 50,000 rupees. So he prayed to Balaji. So I'll tell the joke and you can tell it. So then, he goes to Bangalore. He bets on the horse, but the horse doesn't come in. The horse doesn't come in first. The horse places. He only gets 50,000 rupees. Right? So he goes back to Balaji and he says, oh, Govinda, how could you do this to me? I trusted you. You didn't trust me. I would have given you your half. I would have given you your hat. You didn't have to take it already. Did you get the joke? They got the joke. So as soon as he got money, he forgot Krishna. You know, he wasn't humble anymore. So that happens, you know, that there's no atheist in the foxhole, but as soon as the bullets start flying, people forget God. So so at least they have to be, they're forced to be humble. Then somebody who's curious, they at least have to be humble enough to put aside their own opinion. And which is a lot, because most people are very much attached to their own opinions. And the wise are humbled by nature already. Because that is, as Krishna explains in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 8, he says, what are the lakshanas of somebody who has achieved knowledge, somebody who's wise? So the first two lakshanas are amanitvam, adambitvam, that they are humble and they don't have any pride. So the beginning of self-realization requires that we have to be humble somehow or other. So for most of us, as humility comes by being beaten by the material nature. No matter how hard we try, we just keep getting kicked and kicked and kicked again and again and again. And no matter what we do, even if we succeed in one area of our life, something else is going wrong in another area of our life. There's always something wrong. There always seems to be, no matter how successful you are, there always seems to be something wrong. I have many clients who are very wealthy, and some people think, rich people, they want to be wealthy because they think wealthy people will be very, you know, have everything. But wealthy people, they have just as many, if not more, problems than anybody else. For example, if you're poor and somebody wants to be your friend, they want to be your friend. But if you're rich and somebody wants to be your friend, why do they want to be your friend? They like me, or they like my money. You know, why is it that they want to be? So there's no trust. Immediately there's worry.
Yeah.
That's just the beginning of the worries that rich people have. It's only the beginning of their worries. They have so many worries that they have. So the material world, the material creation, is meant as a reformatory agency. That Krishna has designed it in such a way that no matter how much we try to the very best of our ability, that it just doesn't work out. And then we ultimately realize that the person, that the only one who's at fault is ourself. Ultimately the material world makes us realize that the person who is at fault is not God, but it's ourself who is at fault. Because if you blame God for failure in the material world, you're not quite ready yet. You still have more suffering to go. If you're going to blame God, it's not God's fault. It's just like, it's not the government's fault if someone is put in prison. You are in prison because you have done something that deserves that situation. So when we realize that we are responsible for our own situation, we know that the problem lies with us, not with God. That the rottenness is in our own heart. And there's a saying, that identifying the problem is 50% of the solution. Because if you don't know what the problem is, no matter, you can try so many different solutions, but it's not going to work unless you actually have identified what the problem is. The problem is me. Otherwise, if we always think that somebody else is the cause of our misery, then we'll always try to do rectify this situation or rectify that situation. One time there was a minister. He was trying to prepare a sermon for the Sunday, sermon in his church. A minister was trying to prepare a sermon in his church. But he had a young son who kept disturbing him. And always tried to tell his son to do something, but his son was very clever and he'd always come back and continue bothering him. So finally the father, because he had to do this, he had to prepare his sermon, so he thought, he was trying to think of some way to distract his son long enough. So he hit on an idea. He saw a picture from a magazine which had a picture of the world on it.
అతను ఒక పత్రికలో ఈ ప్రపంచం యొక్క చిత్రపటమైనటువంటి ఒక చిత్రాన్ని చూశారు.
So he took the picture and he tore it up in little pieces.
అదర ఆ చిత్రాన్ని తీసుకొని మొత్తం ఒక్కొక్కటిగా చేశారు.
And he told his son, you take all these pieces of paper and you put them together, I'll give you some money, and you know, just do the thing. He figured this will take his son a long time, because his son is only a little boy, and he tore up a little piece, and his son didn't know geography, so he wouldn't be able to, since his son didn't know geography, he wouldn't be able to figure out which parts of the world went with which other parts of the world. So he figured this would keep his son busy for a long time. And he started thinking about what is he going to write for the next sermon. But in a very short period of time, there was a knock on his door, and there was his son again. And there in front of him on a piece of, he had put together the map of the world. And the father was amazed. How did you do that? I tore it up in so many... He was just amazed how the son could do that. So the son told him, I noticed that on the back side of the map of the world there was parts of a human body. So I figured that if I could put the man together, the world would be together. So then the minister was very happy. He gave his son his money. Then he knew what he should preach about. That, instead of trying to control the world, trying to make all the environment according to our needs, all these different things, which will never happen, which will never work, because we always try to adjust this, adjust that, to try to be happy. It will never work. But if we can just simply control our own mind, control our own senses, then everything else falls into place.
ఈ భౌతిక ప్రపంచంలో దాని చదువుకోవాలని దీనికి కూర్చాలని లేకపోతే ఆవేశం చదువుకోవాలని ఈ విషయం చదువుకుంటే ఆనందం ఉండాలి ప్రయత్నిస్తాం. కానీ అవన్నీ కాదు, మన సొంత మనసును మనం గెలుచుకోవాలి, సొంత ఇంద్రియాలు మనం గెలుచుకుంటే మిగతా వాటంతమే చక్కగా పడతాయి.
So, because in the material world, everybody, we feel some discomfort, we feel some unhappiness, we have these needs, eating, sleeping, mating, we have all these different things, or worried about birth, death, old age and disease. We try to make some material adjustment to try to feel comfortable. But no matter what we try to do, it creates an imbalance someplace else. It's not so much prevalent in India, but in Europe and North America, everybody has in their homes, they have wall-to-wall carpeting. Carpeting, carpets. Carpet, you put it on the floor. But the carpet has to, they cut the carpet in a certain size that it exactly fits the room. If it's cut a little bit too big, then there's going to be a lump. There's going to be like a part which sticks up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you try to push the carpet down here, it jumps up over there. And if you go to push it down over there, it jumps up over there. So no matter where you push it up, you push it down, to push it comes up someplace else. So that's living in the material world. So today we were having a discussion earlier today about material science. So the whole enterprise of material science is to try to control the material world. To make it, to exploit the material world and make it an easier, better place to live. You know, for example, you know, instead of having an oxen plow the field, he can only plow so many. If you get a tractor, he can plow, you know, 100 times more fields. You know, that's more efficient. More efficient. Better. Instead of having an ox plow a field, if you get a tractor can plow more, right? It's a more effective way. Effective. This is the idea of material science, to somehow make, you know, to solve various problems and make a better solution in life. But like trying to lay a carpet that where you press one thing down, it pushes up someplace else. So it's similar to material science. They try to, but by solving one problem, they create 10 other problems. I'll give you an example. Back, say, approximately 100 years ago, there were no cars on the road. If there was maybe, you know, 100 cars in the whole world. So in those days, like in big cities like in New York or in Calcutta or Delhi, everybody, they would use ox cart, or they would use horse carts and ox carts to transport things. So in big cities like New York, there'd be a lot of horses and there'd be a lot of horse stool all over the place. And then the horse stool would dry, and then you keep running over it and it turns into dust, and the dust goes in the air and people would breathe it and they'd get different types of diseases. So people were thinking, this idea of horseless carriage is a good idea. We have horseless carriage, we get rid of all this air pollution. That if you have a that's what they used to call cars before, they used to call them horseless carriage. You know, you have before it was called horseless carriage. This is a bit, we should have a horseless carriage because horseless carriage will solve the problem of air pollution. But horse manure never created hole in ozone layer. I mean, the cars have created more pollution than horses ever did. At least you could put horse manure into your garden. You know, you can't do anything. The car pollution is just so bad. So this is just, you know, what has science given us, except where water you can't drink, food you can't eat, and air you can't breathe. Okay, they have all these, you know, pre-packaged food, you know. Somebody gave me buttermilk, which came in one of these sealed containers, you know. You look and it was made 3 yugas ago, and it was so old, and of course to make it last long, they had to put so many chemicals in. And who knows what those chemicals will do to you? And now we're wondering why people are coming up with so many strange diseases. They have so many allergies, so many, you know, asthma, so all these different things which they didn't have before. And our bodies were not designed to eat, methylparaben and all these weird chemicals that they put in food to preserve them. This is just an example that in the effort of material science to do different things, they actually create more problems. Getting back to the topic of cars, before cars, very few people would get killed in, you know, horse accidents. But every year, I don't know about in India, but every year in the United States, half a lakh of people are killed just in car accidents. That's as many people as were killed in the whole Vietnam War. The Americans who were fighting in Vietnam for 10 years, they lost approximately 58,000 men. But in 1 year in car accidents in the U.S., there's 50,000 people killed. So I mean, this is the nature of material world. When we try to solve one problem, it just creates more problems. So that's because they forget what is the purpose of the material world and what is the real goal. The purpose of the material world is to for us to rejuvenate our spiritual relationship with Krishna, and to understand that I have a relationship with God, to act in that relationship, and to achieve pure love of God. That's called Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So if we have material problems, then we should seek for spiritual solutions. The real solution is not to try to make the world a better place, but to leave the material world. You cannot make the material world a better place because it was designed not to be. It's not that by accident it was it's defective. It was purposely planned to be this way. It's like prisons are not designed to be five-star hotels. Anybody here, have you been to prison? No. Anyway, I've just been given the note. 5 minutes left. So we're going to take some questions and answers. Anybody have any questions? You can write your question on a piece of paper and hand it up forward if you prefer to do it that way. So everybody knows what is the purpose of the material world then? No doubts about that? All right then, let's leave it. Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.